Today's You and Yours looks at Tesco revival plans and asks how they will affect shoppers and the shopping market as a whole. Experts muse on what the housing market will bring in 2015 and why the working directive makes little difference to the self-employed. That's all in You and Yours with Winifred Robinson at 12:15. But now our book of the week and more about the life of musician Robert Wyatt. It's the early 1980s and something important arrives in the post in Different Every Time by Marcus Adair.
Shipbuilding just arrived on my mat, Robert recalled, in the form of a cassette with a note from Jeff Travis of Rough Trade saying, Elvis Costello and Clive Langer have asked if you'd sing this. So I stuck it on and sang along with it, and I said I would. I was very honoured that such illustrious composers should ask me to sing for them, but my thoughts were technical. Can I do this and just try to do what they imagine I could do? Costello had already proved himself one of New Wave's most sophisticated as well as most successful songwriters. But though he often gets solo credit for shipbuilding, he wrote only the lyrics. The music was by Clive Langer, whose work with acts such as Madness and Dexys Midnight Runners made him one of the most acclaimed producers of the era. Langer had been a Wyatt fan since The Soft Machine and had been particularly struck by Robert's recent version of Strange Fruit. Yet the producer himself was no jazz musician. Shipbuilding is an odd song in that sense. Pop people think it's jazz, and jazz people think it's pop. According to Langer, Costello wrote Shipbuilding's lyrics in a colloquial, Wyatt-esque style. A new winter coat and shoes for the wife, and a bicycle on the boy's birthday. Clive Langer had also written his melody and chord sequence with Wyatt's Strange Fruit as the main reference point. But, says the producer, it was a dream come true when Robert actually agreed to sing it. It helped, perhaps, that Costello had picked a theme to which Wyatt was likely to be sympathetic. The song was, at least in part, about the Falklands War, which had broken out in April 1982. The power of the song comes from the fact that it looks at the impact of war on the home front. Largely fought at sea, the Falklands conflict helped revitalise the shipbuilding industry in the north of England. Yet the extra income came at a ghastly price. It wasn't that hard to imagine there being a need to both provide the means to get people to the conflict and the people to actually take part in the conflict, Costello has explained. And in my understanding of British history, they nearly always get a working class boy to do the killing. All credit to Costello for pinning that down so eloquently, nods Robert. It's funny that the upper classes don't despise the working classes all the time. They do when they're working, but when they put on a uniform, suddenly they're our boys. The Falklands War lasted just 74 days. Yet shipbuilding is timeless as well as topical, since the lyrics never mention the Falklands directly. Costello goes no closer than a line about being taken to task, an oblique reference to the Naval Task Force. As a piece of music, too, shipbuilding was a triumph. And it is Robert's resignation, his lack of faith in the revolutionary power of pop, that gives the track its poignancy and power. His delivery is neutral, almost deadpan, but the confusion and suppressed rage seep through. Clive Langer asked Steve Neave from Elvis Costello's band, The Attractions, to replace his own rough piano part for the final version of Shipbuilding, but elected to leave the drum and creaking double bass parts from the demo. The playing was rough round the edges, but had an emotional impact that might have eluded the slickest of session players. That jazz trio skeleton was fleshed out only by organ and Costello's restrained backing vocals. The hollow, unkempt arrangement left more room for Wyatt's voice. Robert is just completely naked, says Jeff Travis, who released the single on his Rough Trade label, but without being self-indulgent. It's not primal screaming. It's just wonderful. Costello admitted that he got choked up listening to Robert in the studio. And Langer, too, burst into tears when listening to the track after the final mixing session. I didn't want to go home or anything. I just stayed up, playing it and playing it. I got in at about 4 in the morning and woke my wife up and played it to her. It was just very special. Shipbuilding was released in August 1982, 2 months after Britain won the Falklands War. Unusually, Alfie didn't design the cover herself. Instead, she suggested using an image of the Glasgow shipyards by the neo-romantic artist Stanley Spencer, part of the Shipbuilding on the Clyde series commissioned during World War II. Though it failed to chart on its initial release, listeners to John Peel's show voted Shipbuilding the second best song of 1982, just behind Temptation by New Order, while the NME named it among their top 3 tracks of the year. Buoyed by such acclaim, Rough Trade re-released the single the following year, just as Margaret Thatcher was sweeping to a second term in government. This time, it made the top 40. Dressed in his revolutionary uniform of beard, beret and khaki shirt, Wyatt performed the track on BBC Two's The Old Grey Whistle Test. "Here's another piece of completely escapist light entertainment," he muttered by way of introduction. The self-deprecation was an attempt to preempt charges of worthiness. But Robert is also eager to deflect praise for shipbuilding, widely regarded as a pinnacle of political pop, onto Langer and Costello. "It wasn't that he didn't like the song," Wyatt insists, "but simply that it wasn't his to own." Shipbuilding introduced Wyatt to a whole new generation. Sam Elledge remembers a moment in his late teens when he was sitting in a pub with some new friends and mentioned his dad was a musician called Robert Wyatt. And they went, "You are joking. We are not worthy." And I was used to most people going, "Who?" Old Rotten Hat, released in November 1985, behind a sandy, minimalist cover from Alfie, marked the return of Wyatt the writer. It was also a solo album in the strictest sense. He wrote every song and, aside from a 4-second cameo from Alfie, played every note. "Robert always said that it was part of the paraplegic liberation front," recalls Jeff Travis. "To do everything yourself, to prove you didn't have to rely on anyone else." Old Rotten Hat was an insult, shouted at someone wearing fancy clothes. "Someone who's dressed up posh," says Robert, "even if perhaps they're not." With his beret and Free Nelson Mandela t-shirt, it was hardly a charge that could have been levelled at Robert. Yet he identified with the sense of a man out of place. "Anybody who is in rock has to be interested in politics," he explained to Sounds. "You really haven't got a choice. If you've got any pride, you've got to work out your own vision of what's going on." He dedicated the album to Michael Bettany, an MI5 officer jailed the previous year for passing official secrets to the Soviet Union. So remote did Wyatt feel from his own culture that he had at one stage thought of calling Old Rotten Hat by an alternative title, English as a Foreign Language. His own neighbourhood, Lebanon Park, had changed dramatically since Robert and Alfie arrived in the mid-1970s. Suddenly the 1980s came, and Twickenham became totally yuppified, Alfie recalls. "Neighbours would complain about our posters for anti-apartheid marches." Although international travel wasn't easy in a wheelchair, Robert and Alfie began making ever more frequent attempts to leave suburban Richmond for more sympathetic horizons. They spent 2 winters in Spain, in exactly the same spot, Castelldefels, south of Barcelona. One in 1982 to 83, between the release and re-release of Shipbuilding, and another 4 years later, in the wake of Old Rotten Hat. Casteldefels was cheap off-season. The beach resort itself was almost deserted during winter months. But a mile or two inland, within a community of factory workers, Robert discovered what he calls an authentic folk culture. Many of the workers were migrants from Andalusia, the heartland of flamenco, described by Robert as one of his most important sources of musical inspiration. Back in England, Alfie decided they would sell the Twickenham flat and move somewhere sufficiently large to have a dedicated music room. Louth in Lincolnshire was an unexpected choice for a couple deeply immersed in international politics. That they were no longer at the heart of things, laughs Robert, dawned on them when the first Gulf War broke out in 1991, and there was no nearby embassy at which to protest. The move to Louth meant Robert had his own practice room, where he installed a Yamaha Baby Grand and started to work on original material. As usual, the process was incremental. But when he augmented his own compositions with lines written by Alfie back in Spain, Robert realized he had a whole new album. Donde Están might sound unpolished, but it is the product of a perfectionist mind. Wyatt recorded 10 draft versions on a 4-track tape recorder before he even entered the studio. "I worked on it a lot," he told Musician magazine, "because I wanted the end result to sound fairly spontaneous." As on Old Rotten Hat, he played everything on the album, including the most mournful melodica this side of Augustus Pablo. The fact that Sight of the Wind uses only 2 chords allows Wyatt to run some parts backwards, emulating the unsettled feel of shifting sands. Wyatt's drumming on the album is superb. From the timbal rolls of the title track to the deft brushwork of Left on Man and the jazzy ride cymbal of Neo. Robert's inability to use the hi-hat pedal following his fall proved more challenging. On Shipbuilding, as on Sight of the Wind, he had substituted vocal sounds, a gentle tsh, hinting at double time. Robert now realized that with the right flick of the wrist, he could get the same effect by using brushes. Donde Están was released in August 1991. Robert Wyatt's new release is as telling and sensual as anything he has produced over the last 3 decades, wrote The Wire magazine. And if not everyone regarded it as a career peak, many critics regarded Donde Están as Wyatt's best work since Rock Bottom. Both are occasions, as Robert puts it, when he swims in his own river for a whole album.
Julian Rhine-Tutt was reading from Different Every Time by Marcus Adair. The producer was Duncan Minchell. And it's Meltdown dealing with Lautrec and some famous followers at the same time tomorrow. The news is next. Then, what kind of message does the decision by League One football club Oldham Athletic to potentially sign convicted rapist Ched Evans send out? That's Umumazar in a couple of minutes.
One to One returns to BBC Radio 4.
I'm not just in a mixed marriage, I'm the product of a mixed marriage.
Adrian Goldberg talks to 3 people who married outside their own faith or cultural background.
Our original idea was to take the best of both worlds. And it doesn't work in everything. Some things it does.
When we were married 25 years, we had a big party and invited all the people that said it'd never last.
Anyone will tell you who's been in this situation, a mixed marriage truly is a mixed blessing.
One to One returns next Tuesday morning at 9:30 and then available on the BBC Radio 4 website.